A very blessed Easter Sunday morning to all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Indeed, we thank God for the Bible study classes after the service, for it is through these ministries that we have the children choir. The children sang beautifully. They have prepared hard, and I was told that some of the children were so excited that they could not sleep last night. And we thank God for the adults who practice very hard to sing that beautiful hymn in praise of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah is the Hebrew word for praise the Lord. Yah is Jehovah. Hallelujah is to praise. And we thank God that these are not empty words. For when we examine the many religions of the world, the founders of the world's religions lie dead and buried. And the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ realize the full impact of what it means if Jesus were to rise from the dead. So much so that when Jesus died, the priests, the scribes, the Pharisees insisted that the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ be sealed by the Roman Empire, that anyone to break the seal must face death. And not only that, to ensure that this seal remain in place, guards, the elite Roman guards, were put there through the entire night to ensure that no disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ will come and steal his body. But we know from the scriptures that to no avail, no human beings, no earthly powers is able to stand against the almighty power of God. And so the tomb was opened by God's power, and the Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. The grave clothes that were used to wrap his body remain in its state as it was, wrapped, coiled. The only difference was that the body was gone, disappeared. And we are told in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is no minor doctrine. It is the cornerstone of the gospel message. So much so that in our constitution, under the section of doctrine, we make this a cardinal doctrine. We believe in the bodily resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ in his ascension into heaven and in his exaltation at the right hand of God, where he intercedes for us as our high priest and advocate. It is a cardinal doctrine because if the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is not preached, then the gospel message is declared incomplete. For in the first few verses of 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul gives to us the essence of the gospel message, where it says that I delivered unto you in verse 3, first of all, that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That's the first part. Our sins, how Jesus Christ died for our sins, verse 4, and that he was buried, and that he rose again from the dead, his resurrection, according to the scriptures. And to emphasize his resurrection, we are told that he was seen by many. First, by Peter, Cephas, then by the 12, and after that he was seen over above 500 brethren, all at the same time, of whom the greater part remain unto this present time, but some are fallen asleep, some have died. But when Paul wrote this epistle to them, a portion of them were still alive. And after that, he was seen of James, then of the apostles, at least 5 times. And in verse 8, the 6th time. And at last of all, he was seen of me also by the apostle Paul. He considered himself the chief of sinners, an apostle out of due time, a persecutor of the church. And Jesus appeared to him when he was on his way to Damascus to continue on with his fierce persecution of the Christians. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is a cornerstone doctrine that must never, never be surrendered. For without the doctrine of the resurrection. If there is no resurrection of the dead, what happens? Supposing there is no resurrection, like what Paul assumes in verse 12, then we will have at least four implications, as Paul has revealed to us. If there is no resurrection, there will be four implications. Verse 12, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Now when they talk about the resurrection of the dead, you must understand that in the Old Testament, there were many resurrections from the dead. And when Jesus Christ walked on this earth, there were also many resurrections from the dead. But the resurrections of the Lord Jesus Christ was most unique. It was very special. And so when they say that there is no resurrection of the dead, they were not denying that there were no resurrections taught in the Old Testament as well as in the Gospels. They were saying that Jesus Christ, who rose again never to die again, did not occur. And so Paul, based upon this understanding, gives us four implications. The first is found in verse 14. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, first, then our preaching is vain. And your faith, my faith, the faith of everyone, including the faith of Abraham, the faith of Noah, the faith of Enoch, the faith of Adam and Eve, the faith of every human being without exception, is empty, useless, vain. That is the significance of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not for us believers who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ after he had died, but the faith, the true faith of every single individual, which God says, this faith is genuine. Abraham is called the father of faith. That faith also depends upon what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, including his resurrection. That is how important the doctrine of the resurrection is in the eyes of God and in the eyes of all who love God. Our faith is in vain, a big, fat zero. And our ministry and our sacrifice and all the monies that we have planted in to raise up witnesses throughout the entire world, all big, fat zero. People who give up their occupation and to go into full-time ministry, big, fat zero. No use if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead. That is the vanity that the Apostle Paul wanted us to understand. Because all our good works will still be nothing but filthy rags in the eyes of God, if Jesus did not rise from the dead. Second implication is found in verse 15. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. In other words, you cannot trust the Bible. The Bible will be full of mistakes and errors. It is a book of lies. That's what it means. The Apostle Paul, they are the ones who wrote the scriptures, the New Testament, should be thrown away. And do you know that the Orthodox Jews have only one testament, and that is the Torah, and they believe only in the Old Testament. They reject the entire New Testament. In fact, if you call the Old Testament, they would give you a good scolding. Because there is no New Testament, how come you call our Torah old? There is only an Old Testament because you accept a New Testament. But if we cannot accept the New Testament of the writings of the apostles, whom we called false witnesses, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then all of us might as well be Jews. Continue to bring lambs, sheep, cattle for offerings. If there is a temple, if there is still a Levitical system, but there is none. No more. Temple has been destroyed. You see how vain It is for sinful man to approach the Almighty God without the resurrection. First, it is empty. Second, this whole book, the New Testament, will be under a false witness. False witnesses of God. The apostles will be made liars. That's the second implication if Jesus did not rise from the dead. And the third implication is this. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, then your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. You and I will still be in our sins. Do you know that? We cannot say that we have been freed from the bondage of sin if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead. You and I will continue to be slave to sin. Sin will still be our terrible, terrible master if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead. Look at verse 55 of the same chapter. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. That's what it means, isn't it? You see the logical progression? We are told that the sting of death is sin. It is because of sin that death entered into the scene. If not for sin, do you know that we will not have to say ashes to ashes, dust to dust? There will be no separation between loved ones if not for sin. If not for sin, there will be no sickness, no disease, no illness if not for sin. There will be no frailties of the bodies if not for sin. That's what it means. The sting of death is sin. Because of sin, death has its sting like a bee. It can hurt us because of sin. And we are told that the strength of sin is the law. God has revealed to us the scriptures how sinful we are. And if Jesus did not rise from the dead, the Bible tells us we are still in our sin. And because we are still in our sin, the sting of death will continue to have its hold over everyone who died. We cannot say absent from the body, present with the Lord. We can only say absent from the body, present in hell. That's what it means. The sting of death is sin. But when death is destroyed, that means sins have been forgiven. How are sins forgiven? Because of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross of Calvary. How he came and obeyed all of God's holy law. How he silently, quietly led to the cross of Calvary to be crucified and to die on our behalf. And how did God demonstrate that what Jesus Christ had been fully accepted by him, that what Jesus Christ has been justified for us, for our sins, and God has demonstrated his justification on our behalf? Yes, you are right. By raising him from the dead. And because Jesus Christ had been raised from the dead, death has been defeated, and the progression goes back again. Death has been defeated only on condition that sin has been forgiven. And therefore, our sins have been forgiven by God because of what Jesus Christ has done. And that is the third implication. We will still be in our sin if not for the resurrection. And the fourth implication, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. They have no hope. We would therefore cry as unbelievers. For when we see our loved ones die, we will never, never see them again. Never. There will be no joyful, joyous reunion. There will only be pain and sorrow. For one day, we too will die, and we will end up in hell. But the Bible tells us, the fire that quenches not, there will be pain, the pain that is described by the gnashing of teeth. For how long? Not for 1,000 years. Not for 2,000 years, but for eternity. You know the kind of sorrow a person can go through. We can't even imagine what eternal suffering is like. Someone has described eternity like this. You ask a little bird to peck on the rock of Gibraltar. Ask him to peck away that rock, one peck at a time. And by the time the bird has finished pecking the entire rock of Gibraltar away, eternity has not even begun. That's what eternity is. And imagine the sorrow, the torment of someone who died in his sin. That would be the sting of death that the person will have to face. But for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, all these four implications are now made null and void. It is not vain. The apostles were not false witnesses. We are no more slave to sin. Those who have died in Christ have not perished. They are only asleep. And like all sleep, they have no need to fear. One day, they will be awakened. Awakened by God with a glorious body. And the Bible says, Jesus Christ is that guarantee. And the word that they use to describe the guarantee of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, which in turn will be our resurrection, is the word first fruits. Christ, the first fruits of them that slept. There is a qualification. Verse 19 to 24 describes the significance of what it means when Jesus Christ is the first fruits of them that slept. The first fruits, the Jews understood very well what that means. They would be the fruits which ripen first fruits, which is very similar or parallel with the firstborn of man and beast. And like the firstborn of man and beast, which belong to God, the first fruits are also fruits that belong to God, and they were given to God as a wave offering. The significance is this, that there is this guarantee that the first fruits of the land that spring forth during the time of harvest, these will be cut off, given to God, for they know, the farmers all would know, that subsequently all the plants, the rest of them, the fruits will blossom. They will come forth. It's only a matter of time. The moment the first fruits come, the rest will follow. That is the assurance. That's the guarantee. And so when the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ is our first fruit, He is the first in time, in quality. He is the first in that He will never, never die again. Let us look at verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. That is the significance of the first fruit, not the first fruit of the world. There is no such thing as universalism. He is only the first fruits of them that have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. First fruits of them that slept, those who died in the Lord Jesus Christ. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. It appears as if it is universalism, isn't it? But when you examine the next two verses, you realize that it could not be universalism. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. They that are Christ. There are only some that are Christ. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Not all will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the all that is used in verse 22 is used in two senses. For as in Adam all died, all human beings born of human father and mother, except the Lord Jesus Christ, only human mother, no human father, all without exception, all die. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So the all there refers only to those who have received Jesus Christ as their Savior. Those who have believed in Him. Those who put their faith and their trust in Him from the depths of their hearts, they are the ones. Jesus says, I am your first fruit. I am your guarantee. Just as the power of God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the same power of God will also raise our loved ones who died in Christ from the dead. That is the guarantee. And the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that if we are alive when Jesus comes, we will be caught up. We will not need to die. We will not experience resurrection because we didn't have to die. We will be caught up. The Latin word for caught up is rapture. You and I will be raptured. We will be taken up. Oh, how wonderful it is, isn't it? That we, if God were to catch us up on the Lord's day where we are found in His house, how sad it would be for some who, because of their waywardness, because of their disobedience, their rebellion, have forsaken the Lord and not found in His house every Lord's day. How sad it would be if they were caught up somewhere other than in the house of God on the Lord's day. Oh, if it were today. Oh, if it were today. Christ, the first fruit, to die and raise again, never to die anymore. Not reincarnation, never to die anymore. Because the body that the Lord Jesus Christ has is a body that the Bible tells us is made of flesh and bones. Not flesh and blood, flesh and bones. It is real. It is not a phantom. It is real. You can touch it and you can feel it. But it's also a body that is supernatural. It is spiritual. It is a body that is incorruptible. It is a body that is glorious. It is a body that is powerful. You find that in the same chapter, verse 42, 43, and 44. A body that can go through walls. A body can disappear at will and appear somewhere else instantaneously. How that is possible? Only when we experience it, then we'll know it. But that's the glorious body that is also ours, awaiting us, our guarantee. The aches and pains that we feel today will be no more. All the sorrows of illness, of organs failing, of diseases that have no cure, short-sightedness, long-sightedness, failing eyesight. All these things will be a past. Never to be repeated ever again. It is a body that is incorruptible. Jesus Christ, our first fruits, the same power that raised Him up, we too will experience. The same power that keeps Jesus the way He is with a glorious body, we too will experience. A glorious body awaiting us. The first fruits, also, as mentioned, are guaranteed. Just as Jesus Christ was raised, you and I will also have that glorious body. And so when we say the words, Hallelujah, what a Savior, that is exactly what it means. All our earthly sorrows and problems will be no more. It will come to an abrupt end instantaneously. All our plans, all that we think that we will do, we can accomplish, will become plans only. They will not come to fruition because you would have been caught up by the power of God and given the glorious body because of the resurrection. Jesus Christ, the first fruits. Just as in Adam, all die, even so in Christ, the same, we too are made alive by Him, the first fruits of all them that slept. Is Jesus Christ your Savior? We pray and hope that this day will be a day of salvation for some who still have not put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have known the gospel message. You know that you are a sinner. You know that Jesus Christ is the only one who can save you. Outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no man who can approach the Father and be accepted by Him. For He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. And He died for you. He suffered the sufferings that you and I ought to suffer because of our sin. The wrath of God was upon Him. for our sakes, for our sin. Because he loves us. Because he loved you. Because he loved me. And then God demonstrated his acceptance of all that Jesus Christ did by raising him from the dead. And he is our first fruit. Is he your first fruit? He is not the first fruit of the world. He is not their guarantee. Is he your guarantee? That just as we see the Lord Jesus Christ with our mind's eyes as we read the scriptures, you and I one day will also receive that blessed, glorious body that awaits everyone who has believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have your weekly with you, in closing, I'd like to read to you a poem by Helen Franzi Bohr, page 6. It's entitled The Three Crosses. Three crosses on a lonely hill, a thief on either side, and in between the Son of God. How wide the gulf, how wide. Yet one thief spanned it with the words, O Lord, remember me. The other scoffed and turned aside to lost eternity. Forsaken is the hilltop now and all the crosses gone. But in believing hearts of men, the center cross lives on. And still as when these centennials first met earth's wandering view, the presence of the Lord divides. Upon which side are you? Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray, O Lord, that thou mayest speak to every heart this morning. Help us to make a decision, Father, on which side do we belong? O Lord, remember us. Remember us, O Lord, because we have confessed and believed and received Jesus Christ as our Savior. Help us, therefore, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Cleanse us of our sins by thy precious blood, even the blood of thy only begotten Son. Wash us whiter than snow, and place in our hearts the glorious hope that one day we will be reunited with our Savior, never to be separated ever again. Help us to live for him. We pray for some, O Lord, who are still fighting in his heart or her heart, having heard the gospel message, still struggling with sin, sins that they know full well they cannot overcome by their good works, by human effort. Oh, thou knowest how man has tried throughout the ages and how man has failed again and again. And we pray, O Lord, that thou may be gracious and merciful to such a one and cause this person to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ in humble repentance and seek forgiveness for his or her sin, that this person may truly understand what it means for Jesus Christ to be his first fruit. Our guarantee. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.